Mizmar Tess. Okay, so let's see over here. We did the Radak. We referred to who is the author of Okay, let's look at the Radak. Look at the Radak Pasuk Aleph. Lamatzech al Musaben. It's Mizmar Tess. Lamatzech al Musaben. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvarav. Mr. Cole, thank you very much.
Please.
And Mazel Tov on the forthcoming marriage of your daughter. The Shabbos is the Ufuf. Mazel Tov. Shavuot Nachas. Al Matzech Al Mus Laben Al Mus. So look at the Malbim. The Malbim on page 71. La Matzech Al Mus Haben. Amru Roiv Hamafarshim Ki Om Amoroi David Alechad Me Oivav Shemes. Right, so we did this in the Minchas Shai. I don't think we did the Radak yet. We just did the Minchas Shai, they had the discussion. The word Almus, is it one word or is the word Almus two words? Alamois. Alamois means forever. Or it means Almus regarding the death. So here in the Malbim, the Radak says, Radak is now not discussing the word Almus, he's discussing the word Labain. What does it mean the word Labain? So we just did a chazar of the ideas that we presented yesterday. Who's the Labain? So he says here again on page 71 in the Radak. In the Radak, it's the last line of the Radak on page 71. Amru Roiv Hamafarshim Ki Amaroi David Al Echad Me Oivav Shemest. He had an enemy, and the enemy died. And who was this enemy? Shahayim bin. Now you turn to page 73. On page 78, Shahai, he was Minisichei Hagoyim, he was from the leaders. The word Nisichei means from a leader. Okay, I don't know exactly which term this term is. This word means a governor, a king, a knight, someone in the upper echelon of society. Obviously, every country has their terminology describing the different levels of government. The aristocracy, that's a generic term, from the aristocracy of the Goyim. And this person, Radak, says, V'lochatz es Yisrael, he tormented. He caused a lot of pain. Loch, what's a good word for lochatz? Tormented. He caused grief. He brought grief upon the Jewish people. Lachatz, the suffering. He brought upon the Jewish people suffering. Ushmoy, and his name was Labain. Labain. Okay, Labain, that was his name. That's what his name was pronounced. Labain. And when he died, when this Russia, who was Leichitz Es Yisrael, died, Omar David Zeha Mizmor. That is what Roiv HaMefarshim explained. And the proof to this is, read the Mizmor. Don't make up things until you read the Mizmor. You read the Mizmor describes an enemy of the Jewish people, Goyim. It appears to be referring to the Ummah Yisraelam. They're torturing us in a unique way. And finally, this person got his defeat. He was eliminated from society. And David HaMelech, he sang Shira on the death of this person. His name was Labain. Fine. But most of the David HaMelech, Yesha Arimim, some say, Ki Labain Hofuch Hu Naval. This we discussed yesterday at great length. Labain is none other than Novel Carmeli. And why? Because it is words. The Amru Ki Kishemes Novel Carmeli Omar David Zeha Mizmar. And we explained before how is the word Labain referred to Novel? Because it's Novel backwards. Nun Beis Lamid. Labain is Novel inverted. And the reason why we learned yesterday, we mentioned one of the first men, he says the reason why he did not call him Naval is in respect to his wife. It is like the halacha that a ger tzedek, a person is not allowed to say something nasty about the ancestors, the non-Jewish the nation from which a ger comes for 10 generations, in order not to be in violation of a no'as devodim, even though the person that's converted and he is Jewish. Good morning, Rabbi Shulman. Even though a person is Jewish, he's now a Ger Tzedek, and he comes from a not, and he's no longer associated with that nation. You cannot deny the fact that a person is a human being, and this is where he comes from, these are his people, and to go and say something that nice about where you come from is still painful. The same way that is true with regard to a ger in relation to his where he comes from. The same thing is true when it comes to a woman. A woman was married to an evil man, and that man died, that man, they got divorced. It's not derech eretz to say nasty things about her first husband, especially if she has children who love him. So that would not be nice. Same type of principle. I wonder, in the professional world, what? Olavadia, you know, he himself, there's a very big difference when you yourself say it versus someone else. A person can say about himself nasty things. If someone else would say even one, what would be mirame, something nasty, you'd go to war with that person. But when the person himself says it as a joke, that's fine. Self-deprecating humor. But when someone else says a joke about you, oh, that's a whole different world. It's a world apart. What you say about yourself, what someone else says about you, just because you say about yourself, it doesn't give anyone a right to say it about you. It's a whole different world. And I always wonder, in the professional sports, when you have a person who's a legend on a team, he's playing for the Yankees, and then he abandons ship and he goes to Boston, he goes to the Red Sox, they pay him more money, and then they have a game, right? So he comes to Yankee Stadium, and you have in the audience, so the fans, you know, I mean, the fans, they don't like him. You have abandoned, loyalty counts as something. This week's parish is the parish of loyalty. Lama azavten esu'ish. Lama azavten esu'ish. This is parasha, Sipoira. Yisrael said, Yisrael is an amazing, Yisrael was a world famous leader. Yisrael was the Kohen Midyan. He was world renowned. What was his Maila? What was the Maila of Yisrael? That Yisrael, he rose to such esteem in the entire world. But how did he, that he had a character trait that was appealing? So I believe the Torah tells you that one of the first things that we learn about Yisrael, you know, everything the first is always very revealing, captures the essence of a person. And the first thing that we find Yisrael saying, was his door. Moshe comes there, he goes out to the well, Sipora comes, and Moshe helps her. And then the first thing we learn about Yisrael, which is an opening, powerful statement, is he says to Tzipora, why did you abandon him? He did you a favor, he did something for you. You just walk away from him? That's an amazing Milo. And that Milo, I suggest that that's the first thing that the Torah reveals about the personality of this person. Even though he may have been the experimented in every single form of idolatry in the entire world, if this is the first thing the Torah tells us about Yisrael, obviously it's a revelation that there's a nobility of spirit in this man to make such a statement, and for the Torah to go out of its way to record, Lomazeh azavten esu'ish. A person is good to you, you just write him off, you're not there for him. Loyalty counts for quite a lot. Loyalty is a very powerful trait. In politics, Rabbi Chol, is there anything called loyalty in politics?
I don't know if this is about loyalty or a
chorus at home. And loyalty are two sides of the same coin. Lama ze azav ten esu ish. He did you a favor. You owe him. You owe him. Don't abandon him. He did not say to her, why didn't you reciprocate and pay him back the goymel chesed with him? He didn't say that. He defined the hakaras atoiv. He's defining what is hakaras atoiv. Hakaras atoiv is don't abandon ship. What is hakaras atoiv? It means, oh, you did me a favor, so I have to now send you mishloach manos, the $500 mishloach manos. Tit for tat. You did me a favor, I'll do you a favor. Is that what hakaras atoiv is? Well, you learn from Yisrael that's not what hakaras atoiv is. Hakaras atoiv is loyalty. You did me a favor, you showed me that you care about me. I'm a concern that I should be center in your mind, I have to reciprocate, not just to go give you presents. I have to be loyal to you. I have to be there for you. The Torah's words are very powerful. All right, in any event,
I think not because of that, because he's a zav. He's ish mitzri. So
okay.
What is he doing in Midian? It's a stranger. So you should be invited.
Abandon him.
He might be a terrorist. He was invited to Eretz Israel.
Yeah.
I think it's a Sachar.
Moshe
said,
Tazov,
come with
Al Natazov. You're saying something very fascinating. You're saying that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Al Natazov, it's Mamish Zel Umazah from Lomo Zah Zafen Esoich. That's beautiful.
It is.
That's a really nice part. You just hit a home run out of the ballpark.
He gave me a speed.
That's unbelievable. That's a whole drasha. That's mamish, a whole drasha. That's brilliant. That is amazing. Kedai to come today to the kollel just to hear that. That's really good.
Lama's
unbelievable. Why don't abandon you yourself? Know better than anyone else what it means not to abandon.
They said ish mitzri, lama's azav
tenet ha'if.
That's ish. They said it's probably.
Beautiful, really, really powerful. I have to remember to write that down. Rabbi Wojewski is going to write it down for us.
I already wrote it down. That's it. I just made myself a note. It's very good.
Wow.
Excellent.
Really good. That's really good. All right. So going back over here. I'll just use that as an example. Over here is an incredible sensitivity that a woman who is married to a wicked man. It's unbelievable. A woman, Avigail, who is married to Novel. There's something still there. There's a connection. The husband and wife. No, things did not work out. And they got, and he died, whatever happened. But it's still, David HaMelech had a sensitivity. He had the sensitivity to acknowledge that she still has that connection to her first husband. And don't call him by the name. Don't call him by the name of Novel. You call him Lovon. And backwards, in order not to directly arouse any enmity by any bad feeling. I know someone once told me that there was a certain woman, she was married to someone for many, many years, and her husband died, and she wasn't this woman already by that time, probably was, I don't know the exact, it was probably in the 70s. She remarried, whatever, she wasn't, her husband died, and then years passed, and she remarried. And she married, probably, much later in life. And she always kept in her bedroom a big portrait of her first husband. First husband, yeah.
I know she, one of the ladies that I was sure did that. She was on her third husband, and she had a portrait of her first husband.
Okay, so...
On the wall.
I mean, whatever. So you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. Okay, you know, it's
if you knew, or you'd understand.
Oh, exactly. I mean, whatever. It's an interesting phenomenon to do such a thing. I mean, it's one thing that if a woman is 25 years old and she does that, I think we got a big problem over here. Okay, she was probably in her mid 70s. You know, when she married, when she remarried, and the remarried was more of like just of a, you know.
Companionship.
It's not like a type of romantic.
She used to talk about her first husband in front of her.
Yeah. Said this the same thing. It's obviously a very different type of story when you're dealing with someone that age, that takufa, whatever. Any event over here, it's a really fascinating insight. This thing that David referred to him as Lovon, not as Laban, not as Novel, and a sensitivity to Abigail. It's an incredible insight into Menschlichkeit, into humans, into psychology. It really is. Any event going further over here, the Yesh Amrim Ki Laben Hafuch Laben Rav Yamrim Ki Kishmeis Novel Akarmeli Omar Da Zamizma VuRochoik Meoid. The Radak rejects that as well. Radak does not like that. So already the first one was, it's the name of a person, a name of a mystery man. Who was a tyrant, a non-Jewish aristocrat, who caused much suffering to the Jewish people. The second interpretation is it's in his novel. Why not? Why does he reject this interpretation? Because the Radak, even though the Radak is heavily steeped in the world of Agada, he says, you know, you got to be grounded once in a while. And if you look in the Mizmah has absolutely no mention of such a concept. Because ki inyan ha-mizmah medaber al odem sheher al Yisrael, the Mizmah is not discussing this, is discussing medaber al odem sheher al Yisrael v'novel lo heher al shum odem. Nowhere, the whole Mizmah is discussing about a person who caused enormous grief to the Jewish people. And novel only caused, the only record of grief that novel caused was to David, not to any other person. He was a miser. Kilai means a miser with his money. David hated him because David, he needed food. He needed supplies. And Novel Carmel refused to give him. He was a miser. And that's why David hated him. But it does not say anywhere in our records that Novel lifted up a pinky to bring harm to the Jewish people. So therefore, to suggest that we're dealing with Novel, it's maybe very nice in the first pasuk, but when you continue the entire Mizmar, it does not hold water. Now we come to approach number three, the Yesh Oimrim. We're on page 73 in the Radak. Those who have joined us in the Radak, on page 73, Mizmar Tes, in the middle of the first Radak. V'yesh oimrim ki labein kimo biyud v'hu goliah shenikra ish habeinayim. Labein refers to Goliath. And what does it mean, the word habeinayim? I don't know. What does the word mean, ish habeinayim? I don't look it up. I was lazy. I don't look this up. Bein ish habeinayim. Ish habeinayim. Bein ayim, no. Between the Machane Yisrael and the Machane of the Pelishtim.
You said, why should we fight? One person
against one. We'll have a virtual war. We'll have a simulation, and whoever wins, the other one, just instead of anyone have to dying, will just surrender. A simulated high tech war. Right? Why do you have to actually go out and fight for real? A video game. And whoever wins the video game wins. And the other country has to give over all of their possessions and no one has to die. China, the United States will have a video game match. And whoever wins the simulation,
arm wrestling,
that'll be the winner. So he was called, he had a nickname. This man by the name of Goliath, his nickname was called the Ish HaBeinayim. So the word Labein, Labein means in between, Bain. Between Reuven and Shimon. So just like, so therefore, even it says over the passage, it's as if there was a Yud. La Masech al Mus, La Bein. Lamed is La, there's a prefix. Beis, make believe it's Beis Yud Nun, which means the person who is in between. And in Sefer Shmuel, Goliath is described with the title, the Ish HaBeinayim. The man that's in between these two machanas. So this is a code word for Goliath. And Goliath certainly tormented the Jewish people. Chazal elaborated in great detail. He was very clever. When the Jewish people would say Kriya Shema, he was out there making a lot of noise and setting off all of the alarms so that the Jewish people should not be able to say Kriya Shema Bezman with Kavana and to take away their merit. When David killed him, Omar Zeha Mizmor. Okay, and he likes that. It seems that the Radak says that Taka fits in very well into the Mizmor. So far we have three Perushim. Next, the Adoni Avizal. The Radak always gives honor to his father. That is something very powerful. Limud HaMusar, a commentator to always continuously give cover to his father. And he says, Kosaf. He learns, his father says, that he says he starts off in a similar approach, but it means limisharer sheshmoi bein. Even though it's true that this entire mizmar refers to Goliath, nowhere in this mizmar does it have any zecher mention that of Goliath by name. There's a Messiah. The tradition is that this mizmor was composed with regard to Goliath. But when it says the word Laban, Laban refers to a specific musician or a specific singer or a maestro. A maestro or someone, one of the Levian, who was a singer, a player of a musical instrument,
a conductor.
Aval hu perash laben l'mishorer. There was a singer. Sheshemoi, his name was Bain. K'moisha kasev devar hayamim v'yibam achayem ha-mishnim. There's a pasuk. Bain, that was his name. There was a person by the name of Bain. Okay? That's an interesting name. You know anyone by the name of Bain? Ben. You have a grandson whose name is Ben. Right? Ben, V-Ya-Z-L, and U-Sheni-Ro-Mois. They're very complicated names those days. Complicated names, names we never heard of today. And this was the name of a Meshaber. U-Sheni-Ro-Mois. U-Perash Al-Mos. Okay, so therefore, U-Shehu Shtei-Milois, Kamo Mila Achas, Min alamois shir. And then he goes on to the. Then he goes to the word. He goes on to the next topic of discussion, and the word almus is almus one word. It's almus two words. So he takes the approach that the word almus. One second, we have a problem here. He takes the approach that almus is two words. Kamo mila. Well, it's two words, which is one word. Min alamois shir. V'chamahu shtei milos v'nyonim mila achas egla yifei pia shukmo yifei fia. Ligei gizik zims, ligei yoinim, pekach koyach. All these words, you have to go these words with the immunity of Yavapi sheniftecha lamid, labein. The difficulty, a lot of the Mepharshim, they do focus on this, is that no matter what you're going to say, whatever interpretation you're going to suggest to this word, labein, the patach of the lamid, or the lamed itself is problematic. Because everyone is focusing on a bain or David's, we had another interpretation, David's son died. His bain means ben, not bain. It should really be, I mean, bain it was also some mesmichus form. The grammar, every single one of the commentators, all of the suggestions, does have to struggle with the grammar and the prefix of the lamed and the vowels of la, bain. Why is that correct in this context? You got the wrong guy to know these rules, to understand exactly the details, but everyone over here...
The English translates Habinayim as a champion.
A champion, okay fine. It's a title. Well, he's saying over here, like, the word Labeinayim, whatever the word Labeinayim means, it means Bain. According to this interpretation, okay, this is going back in interpretation. But over here, Alamois, he's saying the word now. My favorite example of two words, which is one word. First of all, we have in this week's parasha, ma ze biyodecha. It's one word. That's the opposite. In this week's parasha, the Alkuya is a word mem zayin he, and the correct way to pronounce the word is not ma ze. It's ma. Pause. Take a breath. Ma ze biyodecha. It's two words. Merged into one word. Right. Well, there must be a reason why, I don't know.
I'm still stuck on Yafei Fiyah. I always thought that's one word.
So he's saying it is one word, but there are Messiahs. In the
text it's one word.
Oh, so I guess
when
the Radak, there are different...
This quote.
So you have to look at the Mincha Shai, because there are obviously many of these type of things are different traditions as to what is the correct... But he's saying over here that there are examples in Egla. This is there. It's not in more than one place. It's more than one. Gemo shnei milos v'nyanim mila gemo Egla yifeifia Yirmiyah shikemo yifeifia somewhere else. I don't know. You have to go look at all. I don't know this. These words are used in multiple places and contexts. And you have to look at the Mesorah. Because there's not just one version. The Mincha Shai will often tell you that, very often will tell you that there are different traditions as to the way words appear on the page. Is it broken into two words, or one word? Sometimes there's a mole, it's the choser. There are many such examples. Over here, obviously the Radak was familiar that the word Yefeifia, I don't know how many times it appears in Tanakh. There are sometimes it's used, maybe in Chazal, they break it into two parts, and sometimes it's used as one word. And he says it's all one and the same. We do that. One of probably the most practical example, which is very relevant, is Bas Sheva. A woman who has the name Bas Sheva in a ksuba, and Rachmana Litzlan in a get. It's very important. Is it one word, Bas Sheva, or is it two words? Is there a space? And a get has to be written very exactly. Ksuba, it doesn't make a difference. Ksuba, it's not the end of the world. Ksuba. But a get is a deraisa, and it's serious business.
Right.
And in the Nachla Shiva, I don't remember, he has all of the rules. There are certain set rules, and these rules are very important, because Bas Sheva in Shmuel, I don't remember, I think maybe there are contradictions. Some place it says it with two words, Bas Sheva, some place it says it has one word without any space in between. Mm-hmm. So what is it? It's very practical. If a woman has the name Bas Sheva, how does she spell her name? Can a woman say, listen, don't tell me what it says in Tanakh. This is how I've been doing it my whole life. And therefore, that's how we're going to do it now on this document. Is that, and maybe Bas Sheva from the Bible had one name. My name is Bas
right.
Sheva, or maybe it's vice versa. So that is a very interesting topic, an interesting topic of discussion. I know of a girl, not a girl anymore. She's already a shame daughter. She's a married woman with many, many children. And I don't want to say her name because you right away know who I'm talking about. But, you know, not the right way, but she's a famous person, and she has two names, and the two names go together. Let's say make believe, Sarah Rivka. Sarah, and this Rivka. You have two names. No, her name is Sarah Rivka. One, she made it, I don't know how this came about, and that's how she spells it,
right.
And that's how she's called, and she's very machbit. It's Sarah Rivka. My name is not Sarah. I'm a name. I have one name. One name. It's not a biblical name. This is the name they gave me. One name.
In Lubavitch, they have that. They have the name Dober. Man.
Yeah, my great grandmother's name was Dober.
When the first time I saw it on a Talis bag, I said, "Is your name Dober?" He said, "No, it's Dober." I mean, and he's
a man.
Yeah, man.
A man. It's usually a woman's name.
Yeah, no. It was a major
mashkiah in the Bible. Okay, people have very interesting names.
By the way, Bas Sheva is the name for Basha. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking it's Basia, but it's not, because
Bisya.
Shin and Sin are not Miskalos.
Yeah.
I have a book on these names, and it's Bas Sheva. Basha is Bas Sheva.
Interesting.
Yeah. Basha makes sense that you say Basha fast.
Very interesting. It's
not Basia, because that's a different sound.
Bisya. Today this is Basha. Is Basha, Bisya.
I'll add another thing to the Goliath thing here. Laben is Abenshel Orpah.
Abenshel?
Orpah. But he doesn't want to mention Orpah because she was the daughter in law of Naomi. It's not nice. So
Laben
shall.
Laben, you don't want to mention.
The son.
You don't want to mention your mother.
Right.
Laben of Arpa. So why do you want to mention Arpa? Because Arpa was the daughter in law of Naomi, who went off the tracks.
Originally, she was
okay. Same type of idea. You don't want to say a lot. You don't want to say a novel because of Abigail. Okay, I hear. All right, let's go for it. It's very interesting. Let's just leave over here. We have Kasha Hargu. I don't know if he's Al Goliath's name or exam is, but Aval Hul Lepeirish Laben Lemeshar Shemoy Ben. That was his name. Commercial Kazmi Vahayaman. Imam Achayam Hamishnim Ben Viaziel Ushemiro Mois. Uperish al Moshe who shte milos, Kumo mila achas, min a la moshir, the Kamo shte milos, Vinyanum mila achas, Egli fefia, Shikmo yefefia, Kaligayonim, the Kach Koyach, the Arabi Shaniftiko Lamed Labain. Now here's what we're getting, as we're up to. Even though there's a patach, Shaniftiko Lamed Labain. What's going on with Veloichain Haminog, al Shame Ha'oda. You see how he writes his language? Veloichain Haminog. Wrong. Gang. Remember the Gang Show? No good. That's not the way you spell it. That's not the way. That's not the way you pronounce it. V'loy chein haminig al shem adam shloy tana la yitzchak. You don't say la yidusun. Elo tavoy al shem ho etzem. Hey, I need you to say ha bein. Af al pi chein bo hayidia bo. Because when you're saying with the lamed with the patach is in place of a hey, and you don't do that. Okay, bo al zeb idia lohayros ki al. Nevertheless, af al pi chein bo hayidia bo zeb idia lohayros ki al bein hamisharer omar ki im hoy omer living b'shva. Okay, so he's telling us over here that the proper grammar. The proper grammar would be to say lamnatzeach almus li bein, because the bein is the name of a person. This is a composition of alamois, and an eternal composition that is being handed over to the composer, the famous composer whose name is bein. So then the correct diktuk should be lamnatzeach Almus, and Alamatzech of Almus, Le Bein. That would be correct. That's what he's saying would have been the correct grammar. And therefore, Afal Pichain, Bahidia, Lohodus Lopag Albain Hamashar, Almaki im Hoya Omer Libain Bishwa, Lohoya Nikar Ki Alhamasharer Omar Shashmo Bein. So we're going to break the rules. This over here, what the Radakov here is doing is really a mind blowing thing. Is where, I mean, there are a lot of people who have come in the wake of what the Radakov, I think Rav Zalman Henda, I think very much would relish in what the Radakov here is doing, is Radakov is saying the Pasuk is not grammatically correct on purpose in order that you don't make a mistake. That's a shocking statement. Because we're always brought up with the understanding is, I'll give you an example. Why is the clock of a city, it used to be in the ancient times, Rav Chudin always says this, is all the way high up. They put the clock on a tower. Brooklyn College, they have the clock all the way up there. Why is it on the tower? Why don't they put it down where you can see it over here? Because if you can see the clock in front of you, every yukkel will go over it and adjust it. My watch says this time. So therefore, who's right? Me or you? I'm right. So every yukkel will go and adjust the clock. The next guy walks down the street, look what it says on my watch. Therefore, you put the clock all the way up there. Listen, the clock is right. You're the one that's wrong. So in grammar, you'd always say, listen, the pasuk is written with accuracy. We're not gonna have to compromise because you, man, don't know grammar. You got a problem? It's your problem. The pasuk is not on trial. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. If you don't understand the godliness of the Mona Lisa, and you think your kindergartner can make a Mona Lisa, you got a problem. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. The Pasuk is not on trial. Pasuk is not in the business of accommodating all the people who don't know how to read. And the Radak says, yes, it is. Shocking. Shocking statement over here. Since if the Pasuk would have been grammatically correct, Lamatzech Almus Lebain, for the conductor whose name is Lebain, then the average guy in the shoe will make a mistake and will think, will not understand, will not chap that Bain is the name of a person. And they're going to think Lebain, they're going to think, who knows, some convoluted interpretation of what is the word Lebain is. So in order that no one should make that mistake and right away come to the recognition that the Bain is the name of a person who's a conductor, and this mizmar has been given over to him, so you know what? We'll break the rules of grammar. We'll write, we'll do something that's not grammatically correct in order to arouse people to understand. That's a very big chiddush to do such a thing.
Right. We have many perushim.
I mean, we have all the perushim, but that's a tremendous thing.
That's why it wrote it this way.
It's a foundation of a big argument among commentators in terms of Yirmiyahu used language not before, and the Abarbanel literally rails about Yirmiyahu's use of language, that he's like off the rails here, and the Malbum says the Abarbanel is wacko for making those comments.
Exactly. This is a shocking statement.
What a nerve is to say that the Uriel didn't know what he was doing.
And people have taken the license from this to do things. For example, the classic example, the only place I saw this written out is the only place I really was able to read and understand what it's all about is in a Reisman's Sefer, Pathway to the Prophets. He has a major section on grammar. He talks about Rav Zalman Hena. Rav Zalman Hena versus the Vilna Gaon. That's what it's all about. Every single Siddur publication follows the rules of grammar of the Vilna Gaon. And yet, the vast majority of the Medaktikim, including Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who's a very big Baal Medaktik, and Rabbi Belsky Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and the Baruch Chaim Tov, Rabbi Reisman himself, they all have basically accepted in their personal life to follow Rav Zalman Hena and not the Gra. And basically, there's no Siddur in public that's ever been published by Rav Zalman Hena. And there are just a few. The few things are, for example, Usashuva, Usafilu, Utsedaka, Ma'avirin, Esroya Hagazer. I have a recording from the Baal Musaf of Nechaim Berlin, of Nochem Aryeh Feuer, who made a recording of his Nusach HaTfila about probably 25 years ago when he first started. Someone asked him, I have a recording. And there, when he says, Ushuva Usfila Utsdaka. Us.
Yeah.
It's a Shura, the first Vav, and then there's a Shva.
Right.
So is it a Shva Noch or Shva Na? According to the Vilna Gaon, it's a Shva Noch. Ushuva Usfila Utsdaka. That's how every single sitter has it.
Asfaradim say Shvanach, and Ashkenazim Shvanach.
No, but okay, I don't know about the Sfar. I only know about the Ashkenazim. And the Ashkenazim, the Vilna Gaon's rules, which I never read, I don't understand what Reisman writes in the book. The rules are when you have a Shurak in front of a Shva. The rules are, it's a tnuah kitana, and the shuva, it's a shuva noch. Us shuva, us shuva, us tefila, us taka, noch. And like a uvne Yisrael. Rav, I think the Baal Kriya for many years, Chaim Berlin,
Yeah,
Yudigolben, he does it like that. He does like the gra. Now I got a new recording, he updated his recording, he made a professional version of Nochmai for you. You know that? You know, they have in the library, Yeshua Gofsky. Baruch Hashem, I was part of that operation. And it's Utsadak. What happened to you over 25 years? What happened to you? You changed from the Gra to Rav Zalman Hena. Rav Zalman Hena, likewise, Rav Belsky only did Rav Zalman Hena. And that's one that and Pam did like a Zalman Hena, Reisman, Yvolchem Pem Aruchim also did like a Zalman Hena. U Sishuva, U Sefila, U Tzedak Ashva No. So Zalman, what's another example? The other rule is the Yud. The Yud, how do you say? You say the first word of the Megillah. Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh. That's like the Vilna Gaon. Vayihi. It's a Shva Noch on the Yud. Or you do va ye is the yud a shva no va ye he is it va he or va ye he so you add another syllable and make the yud into a shva no that was done yesterday's daf yom the Gemara's telling is va the Gemara says it's two words basically it's va. It's vai oyvei vai. It's only oyvei. It's a shvonoch. But that's a drasha. It's not a raya thing. So what does Rav Zalman Hena say? This is where, if I'm not mistaken from memory, really the Gra is 100% correct. But this is not ma'akev. There is no equal in these examples in the yud, that or really any letter that comes after a patach. And the Vav, the Shurak. It's not Ma'akev. And in order to fulfill what he calls the Shippur HaLoshon, the Shippur, the beauty and the pronunciation of the sound, and not to swallow any letters.
Right.
It's worthy, if not mistaken, to break the rules. To break the rules and to say every single syllable and you hear it. If you're gonna say Vayhi, half the time you go very quick, the yud is gone, out the window.
Right.
Out the window. What happened to that yud? The yud of Sarai, she went to Hashem. She complained. So if you say Vayihi, many Baal Kriya don't even know what they're doing. Okay, so don't bring a riot from the average Baal Kriya,
right,
who doesn't know what in the world he's doing. Talk about people who know what they're doing. So know what they're doing. Do they say Vayihi? Yudi woman says Vayihi. And that's rare. Most Baal Kriya, out of ignorance, I believe, they say Vayihi. They pronounce the yud. Why do they do that just instinctively? The first word, you want to get up to a good start. And you want to pronounce every single letter. So the way you pronounce every single letter is, you pronounce the yud. Va-yi-hi. U-vi-ne. U-si-shuva. U-si-fila. U-si-daka. Okay, I don't have a voice. You have to have a good voice. And you sing it. It's the shipur lashayim. Person who has koyach ha-dibur and has musical talent. And they sing, if they do the shvana, these two examples, it you hear the word, there's a ring, you hear the word. So Rav Zalman Hena, he came along, he was machadesh this, and many people accepted it. Many people accepted it. I think Rabbi Belsky was a genius in these things. And he was very into this. He was very into Rav Zalman Hena. Rav Zalman Hena got into a lot of trouble. Rav Zalman Hena was a very young, when he made all these, he was like in his 20s, and he spoke with disrespect to his people who disagreed with him. And he got into a lot of trouble. And he was banished for a tekufa until he made his comeback. There's a very interesting history about Rav Zalman Hena. A lot of very fascinating things. Rabbi Reisman doesn't write the Lashon Hara in this book.
Who was his competitor? He had someone who was...
I don't know. But Rabbi Reisman, he's fluently, he's one of his favorite topics. He wrote it up in his book, Palette of the Prophets, but he left it all the juicy stuff, all the politics and the Lashon Hara. He just wrote the basic rules of this. So why am I telling, why am I...
By the way, this was the Va, Hamilah Yehi, Kmo Vayeshev, Vayishlach, Vayehi, Hamilah Yehi,
Vav
HaPechet. So the Vav is additional. So
correct.
You don't connect it. Like.
I know, but
so
we do. Even though what you're saying, I'm not arguing because I don't know anything.
But
there are many words. Once already we add letters, and it's true. The letter is mahapech, the whole meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
But it forces us. Once you change letters, it forces us to read the word. Now that the letter itself stands on its own to be megale, that it's vav mahapech. But that forces us to change the pronunciation of all the other words all the time. Every time you have a word, there are many binyanim, forms, and when you add letters, that you have to follow the rules of grammar and change the vowels so that it conforms. And we know what the word means based on the letters. The vowels have to bow before the grammar. Okay, the only reason I'm telling you this over here is because this radak here is very, very fascinating. He's telling us the name of his father. He doesn't do the name of his father. That here the word Dane means the name of a conductor. And really the correct grammar is Libe. And the pasuk here is going out of its way to break the rules. Because not everyone is so smart to know this. So no one should make a mistake. We're going to accommodate, give a remedial class for the beginners. And that's a shocking thing to do, because the expectation is Tanakh is perfect. You don't understand it, it's your problem. Anyway, every single thing into every single letter anyway is a mesoira. You can't read anything. You can't read a pasuk in Chumash without a tradition as to what the pasuk really means. You go take a pasuk, you're going to translate the pasuk. It's a joke. We learn in the afternoon. We learn in the afternoon a Chumash Rashi on Kliss, and we have there on the screen the English translation. And the English translation is humorous. I mean, I don't know where they took this English. I don't know where it comes from. It's not an art school translation. It's not. We have no idea where this English translation comes. And when you go and you look at Rashi, you look at the Ungelis, and you look at the way they translate the words, sometimes it's mamish funny. How? I mean, where are you getting this from? You're going to find some esoteric commentary no one ever heard of before that says that this is what the word means. So when you translate, every time you translate anything, you have to have a tradition. So now you're going to tell me that we're worried that the tradition is going to be lost, so we have to break the rules. And instead of saying it labein, the Radak, by the way, all the rules of grammar come from the Radak. Okay, the Radak is the foundation of modern day grammar. Everything he wrote Michlon, Sefer HaMichlon. He wrote the book.
He took his book from Rav Sadigon, who wrote the first book on grammar.
But when the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote the Torah before Ma'aseh Bereishis,
Sefer HaMichlon wrote a big sefer on grammar. He wrote a big sefer on grammar, but it's not readily available.
And it's not a surprise then that people have come along like Rav Zalman Hena, and have done the same. They break the rules.
Yeah.
They break the rules. Anyway, Rabbi Berel Wan used to talk about the era of the Paitanim. And the era of the Paitanim was there was a war. I love how he describes that. Today when you go to someone for Shabbos, you're a guest. If someone's for Shabbos, you're a guest. I'm going to come to Menachem Sperling for Shabbos. So what is it? I bring you a gift. I bring you a bottle of wine. Okay, if I'm really nice, I'll buy you from O'Nuts. Really nice. I'll bring you from the nuttery. Right? From the Shamuk Salta. The nuttery in Bar Park, right? You know you're going. Hechra Madrega, the nuttery. I was once in Bar Park in the big Rashid, and he took me, let me show you the good stuff in life. He took me by the hand into the nuttery, a Rashid, to see this is the good stuff.
Yeah.
And he shows me all the good stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know all this? See, Rosh Hashanah has been sitting and learning the whole day. How do you know? Hi, this. We sell them the boxes. His family has a business. They sell them some of. Says, you see that person over there in the corner? Look at that person in the corner.
I used to sell to all those stores.
The Rosh Hashanah told us. See that person in the corner? It's a very. Look at that person. That person is not doing it, just standing there and watching. Why is that person standing there and watching? Was it a security guard? No. It's not Shkiach? No. The person is watching what people like. Isn't it amazing? What people like. To know how to grow the business by observing what people, how they pass over certain things, what they look at. Isn't it amazing? Unbelievable. In any event, we have here Lamasech al-Mus Labein, and he writes over here in this Radak, incredible Chidushim about from his father about breaking the rules. Lo, the last line on page 73, if it would have said Bishva, lo haya nigar, ki al hamisharer omar sheshmoy bein. And therefore we break the rules. Wow. Mikol makam, no one can get away with this today. No way. Anyone would write a sefer today and write something like this today? No way, it wouldn't survive a day. Of Kalman, am I right? Wouldn't survive a day if someone would make a Michael to go into Eichler's and they have a new sefer came out on Tilin and they would write Kalman like this, off the book shelf, out the door. The Radak knew what he was doing. Mikol Mokoyim Inyan Hanizma Nochoyin Hu Leforoshoy Al Golias HaPilishti. Now, by the way, the Radak in all of his commentary did not mention what we learned. I mentioned that we have to maybe see Rashi when we do that yet. Is it refers to David's child who died,
right.
a child who died. So I think totally a five Perushim. Who is this mysterious Bane? Is it Golias? Labain is the Ish HaBainayim, in between. Is it a non-Jew that no one ever heard of before? He was a tyrant. He was an oppressor of the Jewish people. And his name was Labain. His name was Labain. That was his name, Labain. Is it number three? Is it Novel HaKarmeli, whose name over here is backwards? Is it David's? So what am I forgetting when I said this? David's child, I said already? David's child. That's number four. And number five is that a person who was a conductor, a famous conductor. Five perushim at least as who is this Laban? And the word almus, is it one word or is it two words? Is it almus on the death? Finally, baruch shepotrani, me'oinche shozeh, that this tyrant is out? Is that what it means? Lamatzeh almus. How dare you say, no, sounds like almost, it's like, you know, a back door, you got to get in trouble. How come, let's say you have a politician that no one likes, whose approval rating is zero, and then he's removed from office. He's removed from office. So the Jews say, oh, la natseach, almus. Let's say almost so. How could you say that? How can you be politically correct? How could you thank God for the death of someone? No, chas v'sholoim. We never thank Hashem for someone's death, demise. It says almus. La natseach almus. An eternal composition, you know, it's like, you know what it really says? It really says, almost good riddance.
May you go to
you want to be politically correct? No, we have the politically correct version, almost, the politically correct version. It's a back door to get away with it, right? Okay, let's now take a look at the now we have really more.
According to the text, after that.
Yeah.
We're talking about Oyev.
Right, that was what we discussed. So it doesn't fit. I mean,
this is the
Radak says. I mean, you just can't take a pasuk out of context.
Makes sense.
You just can't take a pasuk and just, oh, excuse me, it's part of a mizmar. Read the mizmar. After read the mizmar, then go back and see the word Laban means. So that's what the Radak says.
Yeah.
You're telling me it's referring to Novel HaKarmeli? Excuse me, where here in the entire mizmar is there any zecher of Novel HaKarmeli?
Not
Oyev. Not Oyev. He didn't lift a finger to the Jewish people. He was a miser. No, a miser, dime a dozen. He didn't hurt anyone. What are you talking about? You want to say David's child? Really? David's child? Where does it say anywhere in the mizmar about David's child? You want to say it's Goliath? Prove it. No, the proof is upon you. Oh, because Goliath's torment. We have to see. Okay, that's the test. You got to defend. You go, you have a PhD thesis. You have to defend your thesis. Okay, you just can't go and just say whatever you want. You have to prove it. Now, let's see the mitzudos on this one pasuk. And then we're going to have to really pick up speed. I'm not even going to do today, but next week. Let's see, pasuk Aleph. Lamatzeach. Where is the mizmar? This is on page, this is the mitzvah of it. The mitzvah is on page 70. Okay, there is no mitzvah. How do you like that? There's no mitzvah of this pasuk. Could it be? That's right, there's no mitzvah until pasuk Gimel. And what does... Okay, there is mitzvah Sion on page 70, on the left side in the bottom. Labein Shem Adam. Nilcham im David uchashemes amar olav shira. Okay, that's what the Radak said. Roiv hamefarshim. Rashi pasuk aleph. Almus labein. He says almus v'chemu. So first of all, Rashi just the dibur hamaskel is one word. Rashi obviously disagreed with our girsa. What we have in our text in the art scroll has two words. Rashi's dibur hamaskel is almus. There is only one word. Rashi's dibur hamaskel. You know, we take it for granted that you go and you quote something and then you give a commentary. That was a modern invention. Who made that invention? Who's the one, the originator? Who gets the credit for inventing the dibur hamaskel? Rabbeinu Chananel is the person who invented a principle that before you provide commentary, you first quote the text that you wish to comment on. You take those words, and those words are the haskala for your commentary. Rabbeinu Chananel, the people don't appreciate how powerful he is. They say, for instance, that you have learned Rambam. People who learn Rambam, and you learn a Shver Rambam, and it doesn't make any sense. You learn the Gemara, and on top of the Gemara you have the Ein Mishpat, and you finish the Gemara, you learn Rashi, Tosfos, you look up the Rambam, and what the Rambam says is not what you learned. It just doesn't make any sense. Dr. Fruchter, good morning. Welcome.
Oh,
You read the Rambam, and it doesn't make any sense. 99% of the time, when you learn a Rambam that doesn't make any sense, Rashi Tosfos, look in Rabbeinu Chananel. And what the Rambam says is mamish. Rabbeinu will say something totally different. Oh, now I understand the Rambam. Rabbeinu Chananel had enormous influence on the Rambam. It's a very big secret. Not a secret anymore, people know it. It's a very big secret to understand Rambam. The Bereshis who learn Rambam, all the secrets of the Rambam can be found in Rabbeinu Chananel. It's a very short, Rabbeinu Chananel, he invented the Dibur HaMaschil, and people, Rashi, have taken that Dibur HaMaschil to a new league. And here is a little example. Rashi, he just, all he does in this instance is have a Dibur HaMaschil, almost. But the Dibur HaMaschil itself is a commentary. It's almost, not almost. It's one word, not two words. Rashi, people have taken the Dibur HaMaschil as a tool, as a weapon. Even though the Dibur HaMaschil is simply just a point of reference. It's a point of reference. It's like a waste of time almost, right? You know, in today's modern printing, who needs a Dibur HaMaschil? Just have a star. Have a star, a number, like footnotes. Right? Think about it. What is the Dibur HaMaschil? The Dibur HaMaschil is what's the correct word, the precursor to footnotes. So what's the other footnote? You have a number, one, and then you go to the bottom, one. That's the reference point. You don't have to repeat the word. So why did Rabbeinu Chananel, why did Rabbeinu Chananel put in letters? Like they do on the side of the Gemara. The whole Gemara is full of letters. Aleph, different fonts, different sizes, different things, that symbols that come after. Why can't you just use numbers? Rabbeinu Chananel didn't know about numbers. He could Aleph, Bey, symbol, Dalet. No, of course he knew that. Rabbeinu Chananel decided to have a commentary that they're not going to use numbers. I'm going to mamish cite the words. I'm going to cite the words, and then I'm going to write my commentary. Because in citing the word itself, that itself can be used as a commentary. And that's a very profound concept. And Rashi, more than Rabbeinu Chananel, really took it to town in Lugan Chumash. There are many examples in the Chumash Rashi where Rashi used the Dibur HaMaschil as a weapon. So let's go back to the Rashi over here. We're going to see a little bit over here. Almost. Labein Yesh Poshen Almus Labein Almois Binoy Avshalom. Now this is another interpretation. We didn't do this, number six. Number six. I told you Labein means a child. Where I saw that somewhere else. I must have seen that somewhere. I didn't just say it on my own.
There's a few more.
I know. But there was, maybe I saw the Rashi. I forget what I prepared. I told you before that it refers to David's child who died from the event of David living with Bathsheba when Uriah Hachiti was still alive. Bathsheba became pregnant from that meeting. And she had a child, and that child died as an infant. And David sat Shiva. The pasuk records the entire event. David was here. He was reflecting later in life about from that event of what happened. He suffered greatly, obviously. And a lot of the things, all the Mamari Chazal, what happened. But he's saying thank you to Hashem for the lessons that we learned from this episode. The problem with that is obvious, that the Mizmar makes absolutely no mention of it.
When he was sick, the Ben, he sat down on the floor and he didn't eat and did nothing. When he died, he got up.
That was right. That's the whole story. So this is reflecting upon that entire episode.
Okay, so
that's a very difficult interpretation because look at the Mizmar. The Mizmar has no mention of this whatsoever.
Avshalom.
It was an eternal strife. It wasn't against the world. It wasn't against the Musaylam. So over here he brings Yesh Parshim Al Mus Labein Al Mois Binoy Avshalom. Okay, Avshalom, his son, wanted to take over the Malchus, wanted to kill his own father. And ultimately Yoav chased after him. It was a hot pursuit. And he got his hair, got tangled in the tree. The horse continued to go. And he was stuck in the tree and he was hung. He died in that fashion. Misa Meshunim. He died, and then Yoav sent the Cushi. He sent the Cushi to tell David, your son died. And there was a person by the name of Tsuruya. Was that his name? Tsuruya, who was David's No, I forgot his name. Yoav, there was a person that went and said, David, I want to be the one to tell Yoav, I want to be the one to tell David that his son died. So, and also that he won the Milchama, they won the war. So okay, fine, go. And he went, but the Kushi got a head start. So this messenger, he overtook him. Vayavar es HaKushi. He overtook and he told David, and then what happened? He chickened out. He came to David, he couldn't tell David. He couldn't tell the news. He chickened out. And the Kushi ended up telling David what happened. That's the story of Avshalom. What?
Yoav said to him, can you do kol levecha Hashem? David.
But Yoav didn't tell him. Yoav was in the battlefield.
Yoav killed him, and he was the one who...
The Kushi. I have to go look up the story. That was the messenger, not Yoav. Yoav sent a Kushi, and then there was a person there. It says his name, and he said, "I want to tell David. Let me go and tell him." So Yoav didn't want to allow him to go. Yoav then changed. Okay, fine. You want to go? Go. And he ran. And this fellow, Vayavores Akushi, and David was sitting there with watch, they're looking out the tower, and they see a Kushi running, and then they see someone overtake the Kushi, and he runs, and he comes to David, and he says, we won the war, and he chickened out. He couldn't bring himself to tell that his son died. And then the Kushi came and told what happened. That's not relevant to our discussion yet. I'm just trying to show off that once upon a time I learned something. Unfortunately, I forgot all this anyway. Okay, over here, Yesh Poshim al Muslabein al Mois Benoy Avshalom. That Avshalom died. Velo Yitachin Kishroinai. Impossible. Impossible, Rashi says. Mibnei Oimroi, Labein Velo Omar Habein. You see how we are Machloikis the Radak and Rashi? Rashi is not willing to forgive any doubt in any doubt. If it says in the Pasuk Labain, that's not correct grammar. I don't want to hear from this Radak, the approach of the Radak who came much later than Rashi. I don't want to hear from this. You don't break rules. If it says Labain, that's not the correct grammar to refer to a child. It should say Habain. That would have been the correct grammar in this instance. Radak was talking about the conductor whose name was Bain, and it should say Libain in his approach. And Radak wasn't so bothered by grammar. Grammar, what Yeshiva Bacha ever heard of grammar? Okay? Radak says, if it says in the Pasuk over here, La Bain, and according to this interpretation, it should say Ha Bain, rejection. Arois, out of the Beis Medrash. The Ein Loi Bamizmar Eidos, the Zicharin La Ametz Es Ha Pisrei. Number two. Ridiculous, because there's no mention of this idea in the entire Mizmar. Therefore, this cannot be the pshat. Okay, I'll just one more line. We're going to stop. V'yesh poishem al mus labein. It's love that we learned. V'avzel lo yitochein l'hapoiches Hashem. Why? Because then why is it called novel? Why is it backwards? You cannot go out. Why are you reverting backwards? V'avzel lo yitochein l'hapoiches Hashem. And number two, v'ein ba mizmar zichroinoy. I told you that problem of reversing the name, we said Mamash, a whole shir on this, is not such a bad thing. Others come to the defense because of the sensitivity to Avigail, not to mention him by name. Rashi obviously knew that and he rejected that. Rashi obviously understood that principle, that it would not be nice to mention the name Novel out of respect for his wife, but it's not a good enough excuse. All right, it's late now, we have to stop. Take a short break and then we'll do some Chumash. Continue next week.